We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hello, Redemption Church. Hello to all those people looking and listening, watching online. We love you guys. And hello to everybody in the room. Greetings from Plano, Texas. Beautiful Plano, Texas. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm glad to share the Word of God with you tonight. We are in the third week of our sermon series. Somebody help me out. What's the sermon series called? Greater Than. That's good. I forgot what this whole sermon series was called. I'm just kidding. No. Quick. Make up a sermon. Greater Than. Absolutely. That's our sermon series. Here's the idea. No one searches for lesser things. Nobody gets on the internet and says, you know what? That was a good price. I'm going to go find a worse price on that. You know what? I'm going to go to nobody. There's this heading actually in the search bar on Amazon, and you can, you know, search by the value or the how people vote on it, the people's reviews. You can also, what's the number one way you search though? By price. And you want highest first, right? No, you want lowest first. Am I right? They shouldn't even have that highest option. Nobody, I don't know anybody that uses that, because we're always looking for a better price, a better bargain. No one looks for lesser. We all look for greater. Our world is searching for greater right now. Our world has a hierarchy. That's a system for assigning value, where the world will rank you according to a hierarchy. That we've talked about a hierarchy that is three part in this world. What are they? They are sex, money, and power. You've heard of this, right? The world believes and the world acts like nothing is greater than sex, money, and power. Say amen if you agree with me. All right. In week one, we told you that there was something greater than sex. What was the thing greater than sex? Love is greater than sex. And in week two, last week, our care pastor, Marshall Blessing, can we give him a hand? We love that dude. He absolutely preached to us last week. It was so good. Marshall Blessing told us that there was something greater than money. What's greater than money? Say it. Love is greater than money. Today, I want to tell you that there is something greater than power. All right? I'll let you guess what that is later. All right? Our world is after power. Do you agree? Yeah. I'm not forcing you, right? I mean, like, you understand that the world is after power. Yes. We are hearing every day about the growing field of people who will be running for president. It's growing. Like, it's well over 20 right now. 20 people who will be giving a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of money to gain the power of the presidency. They will put themselves and their families through a whole bunch to try to gain the power of the presidency. On your job, there are often people jockeying for position. They will lie about each other. They will make each other look bad. They will position themselves to receive that next promotion, because with that promotion comes power. You understand? People will do almost anything to gain power. I remember growing up watching World Wrestling Federation. It's something else now, but right. Those guys on there, I was just a young kid watching that, but I was like, those guys will cheat on that wrestling thing. You'd almost think it wasn't real. It was, you know, but they would do anything. And you know what? Some guy would be winning. He would be, like, beating that guy. And out of nowhere, some guy would crawl out from under the ring with a folding chair. And he would hit that guy. And then that guy would lose. And they would cheat. And they would swindle. And, you know, and it wasn't, spoiler, it's not real. But you know what? The world is just like that. The world, there are people that will come out of nowhere and waylay on you. They will hit you with a folding chair. They will, whatever those wrestling, I couldn't think of a wrestling move. Name a wrestling move. The suplex. They will suplex you and put you in a sleeper hold. They will, the Superman punch. All right. The people's elbow or other things like that. We all know too well that people lie. that people steal, that people cheat. They will sell themselves to gain what? Power. And is power ever enough? No, because once you have power, you need more power. Y'all are all with me. I like it. The hierarchy is programmed into us from a young age. Let's see if I can prove that to you here. From a very young age, this hierarchy and thirst for power is like programmed into you. See if you recognize these power slogans that were directed at some of you as children. How about this one? I have the power. What is that? He-Man, by the power of Grayskull. There it is, right? How about this one? By your powers combined, I am Captain Planet. He's our hero. He'll bring police. We're just going to stop that. I thought we were all going to sing that, actually. All right, how about this one? Heroes in a half shell, turtle power, right? What is that? Y'all better know that. I will throw down a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles series if y'all don't know that. All right. How about this one? Okay. All right. It's morphin' time. And then they would summon their power to turn into, yeah, go, go, Power Rangers, right? How about this one?
You underestimate the power of the dark side.
Oh, that's pretty good, actually. Our sound team. Did really? That's Darth Vader from what movie? Lord of the Rings. Star Wars. Right. Oh my gosh. I have friends that would disown me for even joking at that. We are programmed from a young age to love power. In fact, Scott, our residential geek around here, Scott was watching some documentary and he was so excited about it. He's talking, do you know how they created He-Man? Basically, they did a test on kids, like, to figure out what the buzzwords were, and that's how they came up with it. They were excited about power and abs or something, and so they created He-Man. That we're programmed this way. It is inside of us, and people are profiting on this idea. We could give you a lot more examples here, a few quick ones. Super Mario needed something called a power up. Yeah, he was a little dude, but he got a mushroom or a flower, and he could spit, right, fireballs, right? How about Pac-Man would eat something called a power pellet, right? And you got that big power pellet, and you could eat any of the ghosts, all right? Popeye would eat spinach to gain his power, his strength, right? Every kid wanted a power glove, and the slogan with it was, now you're playing with power. Over and over again, we were hit with this barrage. We are programmed to love and thirst for power. Humanity is in love with power. Say, in love with power. Let's talk about the love of power. Place a person by the side of the road with a sign saying they are desperately in need of help, and very few people will be attracted to that scenario. People will pull up to that sign, to that stop sign or that stop light, and the person will be right by them with that, and they will act like they're fiddling with their phone, or I've got to look at something. They're not attracted to that. They are not attracted to the person on the side of the road that might be sleeping on the street tonight. They are in need of help. Now, place a popular star by the side of the road. I don't know. Let's choose Ariana Grande. You put Ariana Grande on the same road and watch people stop. Watch people do dangerous things to cross the street to go over to the pop star so they can take a selfie with her. Is that true? Is that what would happen? You absolutely, you wouldn't recognize her, but let me tell you, all of our young people that would recognize Ariana Grande, they'd be over there immediately. Why is this? The person in need of help has no power to offer. But the pop star seemingly does have power to offer. And we are in love with power. We are drawn to power and the power we can get from some people. You listen to me, young people. Some people have relationships in high school and college, not because they're in love, but because they feel like they can get power out of that relationship. Somehow they're moving up some hierarchy of power and popularity, and they're dating person after person. Can I tell you something? That is sick. That is gross. Don't you dare do that. Don't you dare sell yourself out, and don't you dare treat people like stepping stones to power. It's gross. It's sick. Somebody say amen. That was some good stuff right there. The world is in love with power. Are there some biblical examples? You bet. Here's a few. The devil, he used Adam and Eve's love of power to get them to taste of the tree of knowledge. Genesis 3 and 5. For God, the snake says, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You're going to be powerful like God when you eat that fruit. And guess what? It worked, because they were hungry for power. Adam and Eve were willing to turn from God at the opportunity to gain power. Samson did not realize that Delilah was only in love with his power. King David was a man after God's own heart, but fell prey to the corruption that power can bring. David's son, Absalom, would have chosen power over the very life of his father. Judas betrayed Christ in a play for power. The Pharisees had Jesus crucified because he was a threat to their political and their social power. Do you agree with me? The love of power is dangerous. What are you in love with today? Are you in love with power? In creation, I want to tell you real quick, power is not bad. Can you say that sentence with me? Power is not bad. Over this series, we've told you that something's greater than sex, something's greater than money, and something's greater than power. But these things are not bad of them in and of themselves. There is just something greater than them. So listen, say it one more time with me. Power is not bad. In creation, Amari, in creation, God shows us true power when he spoke and the world was made. The world was good. Was this power good? God used this power to create a good world. Was that power good? Why was it good? Why is that good? Why is that good? How about this one? Jesus says in Matthew 28 that all power in heaven and earth is given to me. Who has all power? Jesus Christ has all power. Is his power bad? Why not? Think about that. Why not? Why is his power not bad? Jesus says that we will have power when something comes upon us called the what? The Holy Spirit. When God's Spirit comes upon us, we will have power. When we are given the Holy Spirit, we're given Holy Spirit power. So can I ask you, is that power bad? No, it's not. Why is that power not bad? Power is not bad as long as the motivation behind the power is not bad. I'm going to say that again. I want you to get this. Power is not bad as long as the motivation behind the power is not bad. Say amen if you agree with that. All right. So why is that power not bad? Well, in creation, God's power was not motivated by pride. He did not create the world to say, oh my gosh, I'm going to look so cool after I say, let there be light. The angels are going to be so impressed with me. I'm going to be the most popular deity in heaven. You just watch. No, that's not what was his motivation? His motivation was love. Everything he did in creation was for you. How about this? When Jesus says he has all power, these words are not motivated by greed. He is not wrestling for more power. He's not hurting other people and crushing them with his power so he can steal their power. No, his motivation is what? It's love. His love is his motivation, all right? The power of God's Spirit is not motivated by hatred. The power of God will come into your life by the Holy Spirit, but it will not empower you to hate someone. You do know this, right? We do understand this, right? No, the Holy Spirit, it says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that the love of God is shed abroad by our hearts, in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The power of God's Spirit's not motivated by hatred. This power is motivated by love. I'm going to say it one more time. Power is not bad as long as the motivation behind the power is not bad. So this love of power, it's bad. That motivation is bad. It's destructive. It creates a Game of Thrones scenario. Anybody heard of Game of Thrones? You know what a Game of Thrones scenario is. There's one throne, and everyone will do anything to sit on that throne. Everyone will do anything to kill the person on that throne. They will create any army. They will backstab anybody in order to win this Game of Thrones. Because of the love of power, people will take their power and crush others just to gain more power. Who do you want to sit on the throne? I'm going to tell you, you got to be careful playing a Game of Thrones. You got to be careful on who you allow to sit on the throne of your life. I can't trust others to sit on the throne of my life. I love you guys. You guys are awesome. I love you guys, and I have trusted you in so many ways, but can I tell you, I can't trust you to sit on the throne of my life. I can't. Why? Because I can't always trust your motivation. Okay? How about this one? I don't need to sit on my own throne either, right? You don't need other people to sit on that throne we're talking about, and you can't sit on that throne either, because guess what? Sometimes my motivation's good, but there are times my motivation is just as wrong as anything, right? I can't always trust my own motivation. And power is bad when the motivation behind the power is bad. You follow me? God is the only one I can trust to sit on the throne. God is the only one I can trust to judge me. God is the only one that I can trust to direct my life and tell me where to go and tell me when to stop. He's the only one worthy to sit on the throne, because he's the only one who's always had a pure motive of love. He's always had the right motive. Do you understand this about God? God has always loved you, Kevin. Every moment of your life, he has loved you. His motivation towards you at all times has been love. Even when you've been a knucklehead, Randy, even when we've been knuckleheads, even when we've been away from God, he loved us. And his motivation towards us, even when we were not so awesome, his motivation towards us was what? Love. Can I tell you about the power of love? We talked about the love of power. Let's talk about the power of love. God created the world through the power of love. He reached down into the dirt. Do you realize the only thing in creation that God touches with his own hands is mankind? He reaches down into the dirt and he forms Adam. He takes his own breath. He breathes the breath of life into Adam. He created everything that mankind would need to live. He created everything that mankind would need to be happy and fulfilled. He did this through what? The power of love. Love was his motivation. Can I strike down an idea real quick? Here's a wrong idea, that God is looking for robots. God didn't create this world and create you so he could use you like a puppet on a string and I must obey everything that God says. No, that's what a greedy, prideful, maniacal Game of Thrones king would do. No, that's not God's motivation at all. His whole motivation has not been to control you, but to have a loving relationship, a relationship where you receive all of his love and that one day of your own free will, you would decide to return your love to him. That is God's entire plan right there. When mankind fell into sin, God spoke to us in love. He gave us commands to help us live healthy lives. He wasn't trying to control us with these commands. He was trying to help us. He was trying to love us. He was giving us commands that we wouldn't destroy our lives anymore. What is that? That's a motivation of love. And when mankind needed a savior, when we could not save ourselves, God put on flesh and he was born a man. He came and lived the perfect life. And this same God who spoke in the beginning, the same God who reached down into the clay and formed us, this same God who saw us mess up but spoke to us in love and tried to reach us and lead us, this same God is now walking on the earth as Jesus Christ, and he is healing the sick, he is raising the dead, and he is feeding the hungry. He went to the cross where his feet and hands were nailed to that wooden cross. And he was crowned with a crown of thorns that were puncturing his skin, and the blood poured out of him. Jesus gave his life on the cross. Give me a reason he did this other than love. You can't think of any other reason. The only reason he did that was for love. I remember old gospel song, Leroy, help me if you know it. It says, it wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. The ransom was so high, only he could pay the cost. No, it wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. It was love that held him to the cross. It was love that nailed him to the cross. Not what a Roman soldier did. Not what an angry Pharisee did. Not what his other disciples who turned their back and betrayed him did. No, he was held to the cross by love. Somebody say love. Thank you, Lord, for your love. There was not a selfish reason, a corrupt reason, or an evil reason to do this. He did this all by the power of love. The Bible says that herein is love, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you don't understand Christ on the cross, you do not understand love. God did not come to show us his power. He did not come to show us riches. He did not come to show us his beauty. He came to show us his love. Somebody amen that. A few weeks ago, I preached a surprising sermon on Hitler. That was fun. Power left unchecked is very destructive. Thankfully, there is something greater than power. I want to tell you that love is greater than power. Young people, you hear me? You still with me? Yeah. Let's put the phones down. Love is greater than power, because love dictates how power is used. Proverbs chapter 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from what? So you should guard your heart. A heart that is thirsty for more power, that's in love with power, out of that heart is going to flow destruction. Out of that heart is going to throw evil. Out of that heart is going to flow corruption. All right? Do you understand? But a heart that is full of love, out of that heart will flow beautiful, helpful, and loving things. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. What is in your heart right now? Is it greed? Is it bitterness? Or is it love? What's in your heart? Guard your heart, because what flows out of your heart, everything flows out of your heart. This is how powerful love is. It can end the Game of Thrones once and for all. Love can stop the constant crushing of power. Love can actually take the power and redeem it from corruption. I want to tell you, love is the one thing that can control power. Say that sentence with me. Love is the one thing that can control power. As it was with Hitler, as it is with so many people, we've seen power out of control, haven't we? Oh, absolutely. We have seen power out of control, but love can constrain out of control power. Can you say constrain? I want you to check out this amazing verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For Christ, love constrains us, because we are convinced that one died for all. What does it say Christ's love can do? It constrains us. Everyone's constrained. power is the ability to do something. If you got the power to do something, it means that you can do something. These hands have power. These hands can actually do terrible things. These hands could steal. These hands could hurt other people. This tongue of mine, this mouth of mine, it has the power to say anything. There's been many times that this mouth has said terrible, awful things. It has said things that hurt people. It has said things that made people feel like they were less valuable. I had the power to do that. And that power gets out of control. How many have said things that they regret saying? How many have done things that they regret doing? How about this mind of yours? You regret thinking things? Oh my, you've got the power to do so much. I want to tell you that I have the power to kill. I have the power to cheat on my wife. I have the power to abuse others. It is not popular to think about, but every terrible thing you read about in the news, the latest awful thing that someone did, we like to think, oh, those sick, awful, gross people. But the truth is, you've got every bit as much power as they do to do evil like that. You've got just as much power. If you don't guard your heart, evil will flow out of it, and abuse will flow out of it, and harm will flow out of it, and stealing and corruption will flow out of your heart just like theirs. I have the power, so do you, to do these things. But watch this. The love of Christ constrains me. The love of Christ constrains me. Let's explain this. What does this mean? Out of love, I do not do everything I have the ability to do. I'm constrained by love. Love constrains me from stealing. Love constrains me from cheating. Love constrains me from abusing others. Love is greater than power. Love controls, it constrains. Love limits out of control power. Because Jesus loves us and died for us, this love causes us to live differently. Back in the first week of this series, I talked to you about some basketball stuff. You remember the basketball hoop? And that basketball hoop was love. We're talking about basketball love right here. All right. Like that love hoop from the first week. Only what passes through that hoop is any good. Right? The only way to score a point in basketball is for the ball to go through the hoop. All right? The only way for anything to be of any worth in life is for you to go through the hoop of love. Anything that doesn't go through that hoop is no good. It is not profitable for you or anyone else. This love causes us to live differently. This love constrains us. Not just anything will work anymore. Only what is love will work. We're constrained to this narrowing goal. And that goal is love. Let's say it this way. You might ask me, Chris, why don't you cheat on your wife with other women? That'd be really strange if you asked me that. Why don't you cheat on your wife with other women? You know what? You have the power and ability to do that. In fact, you could do that without anyone even knowing. Maybe it makes a difference if you know that. Did you know that you could get away with that and your wife might never know? In fact, your church might never know. Why don't you do that? You know what? I know what it is. I know what it is, Chris. You don't cheat on your wife, Sarah, because there's a rule that says you can't. Is that why you do it? There's this rule that says you can't? I tell you this. No. The reason I don't cheat on my wife is not because there's a rule that says I can't. The reason I don't have sexual affairs outside of marriage is that I have a love that constrains my actions. And anything outside of that hoop is no good. And so you can't even tempt me with that. That's a gross idea. I know that's not profitable for me. I know that would only wreck my life. I know that that would not be valuing the most important people in my life to go outside of the hoop of love. You see, you got to have love constrain you. Look at this. Chris, why don't you steal? You have the power and ability to do that without anyone even knowing. I know. You don't steal because God made some law that says thou shalt not steal. Is that why you don't steal? No, not at all. That's not why I don't steal. The reason I don't steal is because I'm constrained by love. I'm limited by love. Love constrains my actions. Look at this verse one more time. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For Christ, love constrains us. Because we are convinced that one died for all. Moving on, verse 15. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Because Jesus loves me, because Jesus died for me, I no longer live for myself. Is that what it says? Those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them. I no longer live for myself. My love is constrained to Jesus Christ. I live for Jesus. I live out of love for Jesus. My goal, my aim is everything I say and every action and every thought to go through that hoop of love. Do you understand? Guess what? Let's say this. I believe this is also true. Because Jesus loves us and died, because Jesus loves and died for others, you no longer live for yourself. You actually live for others. You actually care for others and not just yourself. I don't know any other force on the earth that can bring this change other than the love of Jesus, because love is greater than power. What other powerful force can cause you to not live for your own selfish gain anymore? What other force can actually constrain you and it be a good thing? Some of you are so weirded out. The word constrain, that's like, oh my gosh, what's that all about? No, love, the constraining power of love is actually what you need. It's absolutely what you need. Can I tell you, here's just some marriage advice. Don't marry anybody that you don't think they are worth constraining your life for. Don't marry anybody that you don't think they are worth constraining your life for. I remember being a young man. If I wanted to go see a movie at 11:30 p.m. at night, you know what I could do? I could grab the keys, grab my wallet, and go see the movie at 11:30 at night. I could do that, but you know what? I could still do that. I've got the power and the ability to do that, but now I'm living for other people. And now I understand, man, it is more important for me to be at home. It's more important for me to constrain myself. It's more important. I say no to myself so I can say yes to my kids. That's constrainment. And I've got a love that constrains me. It's no longer about myself. You need a love that makes it no longer about yourself. Power makes it all about you. Love makes it all about Jesus Christ and other people. The world needs that kind of love. Plano needs a church filled with that kind of love. Do you hear me? Plano needs a church that's filled with that kind of love. Verse 16, this is just too good. It's almost like Paul wrote this for this sermon series. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Why? Because Jesus died for us. He loves us. We're constrained by that love. And we no longer live for ourselves. And now we no longer regard anyone else from a worldly point of view. What's this worldly point of view we've been talking about? It's that hierarchy. It's that value system, that ranking system of money, sex, and power. When you are constrained by the love of Jesus, you have no right to look at somebody and rate them by their sexual beauty. Young men, let's not do that. Let's not kid ourselves. There's young men that walk around ranking women. Give them a number system. No, sir. No longer are you supposed to regard one another from a worldly point of view. No longer are you supposed to rank people based on the clothes that they wear or the money that they have or the college that they get in or the car that they drive or the office that they hold. You can't do that. You can no longer live by this worldly point of view. Child of God, are you living by a worldly point of view? Are you looking at people through this hierarchy? My value is assigned by the greatest rank of value ever. Jesus Christ died for me on the cross. Jesus Christ loved me enough to go to the cross for me. That's where I get my value. The value assigned to others has been assigned by the love of Jesus on the cross. I want to tell you real quick, your ranking is so very high. You are so valuable. You are so valuable. For God so loved you. He loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for you. He did it for you. Have you been focusing on the love of power or the power of love? Do you understand that God loves you? And are you letting that love change you? I would invite you today to pray, God, give me a love that constrains me to only live out love. You need a constraining of yourself. Real quick, the last thing I'm going to tell you today, tonight, is this. That we know Jesus Christ could have called angels to take him off the cross. He could have. At any point, he, as the Son of God, could have commanded those angels, take me off the cross. He had the ability and the power to do it, but he hung on the cross because love constrains. You understand? And he was beaten. You know, they beat people in order to get a confession out of them. These people say that you say you're the Son of God. So either you say that you've done that and that's false. You go ahead and confess that you are not actually the Son of God. And what they'll do is they'll start beating you, and then every hit becomes harder and harder because they are trying to get you to confess that you have done something wrong. They hit Jesus once, and he said not a word. They hit him twice harder, and he said not a word. They hit him all the way up to 39. Every time it was harder. Could Jesus have opened up his mouth and say, okay, guys, let's end this. I'm not really the Son of God. Did he have the power to say those words with his mouth? He absolutely did, but he constrained himself, and he took the punishment, and that punishment, the Bible says, is our healing. He constrained himself by love. That said, the Bible says he was like a lamb brought before the shearers, not saying a word. Why didn't he say a word? Because love constrains. Not only this, yes. You and I are the reason he was up there. Your sin and my sin is why Jesus was there. Could Jesus just give like a Thanos snap of his fingers and all of us be gone?
Yes.
Sorry if you've not seen Avengers yet. Spoiler yes, alert. Yes. Could Jesus just speak us all out of existence? Does he have the power to do that? He absolutely could do that, but he loves us, and love constrains. Do you have a love that's constraining you? I want to tell you, this is so beautiful because now you don't have to live by every law that you read in the Bible, okay? You don't have to live by those laws anymore. You're living by love. I don't have to have a law that says thou shalt not. I've got a love that says I will give up anything for you, God. I will give up. I want to serve you in all these things, and I will let all these things down. I want to tell you, we need a love towards Jesus that constrains us. We need a love towards each other that constrains us. We need a love in our marriage that constrains us. These altars right now are open. Can we come to this altar, reach out to Jesus Christ? Can we reach out for the love of God? Can we repent of our sin? Can we ask Jesus Christ to fill us with his love today? If you want someone to pray with you, if you've got a special need in your life, if you want to see God move in your life in a powerful way, I want you to come in the first 2 feet. We're going to pray with you if you come in the first 2 feet. Come on, church. Let's come talk to God in this place. Lord, I'm so thankful for your love. God, your love is everything that I've ever needed. Lord, I want you to minister in this place, God. Lord, I want you to give us a love that constrains. Lord, I want you to give us a love that doesn't want to harm others, but a love that wants to serve others. God, give us a love that wants to please you, God. Give us a love, God, Lord, that's not thirsty for power, but God, that is so filled with the power of love. Lord, I pray all of this right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, Redemption Church. Let's talk to God. Let's get this love of Jesus Christ stirred up in our lives right now in Jesus' name.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.